Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Jill Economo here, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group and host for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show, where we give people and organizations who are doing really great things a platform to share what they're doing and how they're making a difference in our community. In our goal of educating and inspiring and impacting you, we hope it gets you thinking about how you can make a difference yourself and be an inspiration for others. As you can well imagine, we work with a lot of retired individuals, but believe it or not, some of the people we talk to who are interested in making a difference by using their time, their talents, their treasures, they don't know where to start. They aren't familiar with all the different opportunities in the community. And it is surprising sometimes because there are so many things that people can get involved in. It's just sometimes people don't know where to start. So today we're going to address that. We're going to give you some information about a few different ways that you can get started. My first guest today is Chris Geiger, a board member of Community Projects for Seniors. Welcome to the show today, Chris.
Jill, thank you for having us. We really appreciate the time.
You are certainly welcome. Why don't you start by giving us a little history of how CPS, or Community Projects for Seniors, got started?
It is a story that the Executive Director Jeffrey Hansen is very open about, but it's a tragic story, and I want to give you just a little bit of his words on what made him go into this effort. He was working at the Falk Corporation at the time and grew up on the northwest side of Milwaukee. His grandfather lived with him, and so he was very close to them. His grandfather left for the nightly walk, as usual, to Washington Park and back, but never returned. That was right after Thanksgiving. With the help of the police, they searched for him, but were unsuccessful in finding him until about 2 days before Christmas. A woman and her young child were ice skating on the Washington Park Lagoon, and the young child looked down and saw a body under the ice. That was his grandfather.
Ooh.
He never realized that there was the loneliness in his grandfather having a loving family, and thought of all the other seniors out there that are in a similar situation, maybe suffering from depression, have no one to turn to, and that's where he got the idea, starting something to help make seniors happy, and the rest is history.
Mm, wow, that's very sad, but it's we talk a lot about using your pain for a purpose, and that is very tragic and very sad story for Jeffrey Hansen. But I think people that know him would say he used it for good then. He was able to turn that tragedy around and make a difference in some way.
He absolutely has.
Yeah. So how, Chris, did you get involved then?
I have worked in property management for affordable housing for, it's going on 18 years now. And the people we serve, the seniors we serve, live in these affordable housing apartments. And I have found that we have a number of people that we think just because they're of the same age and living in the same building are easy to commingle with each other. And that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Depending on the backgrounds, depending on how long you've been living there, depending how far your family is away from you, there are different limitations that will not allow you to assimilate with the people around you. And working with Community Projects for Seniors was a natural tie-in to my business. And it allowed me to incorporate my family and my friends, some coworkers that maybe didn't know exactly what Community Projects was all about. and it gave us an opportunity to do some team building and to open up the eyes of individuals that weren't aware that a lot of people think that if you're living in a senior environment, you have that constant camaraderie. But again, comparing it to COVID, where we weren't allowed to get together and mingle with our neighbors, this was something that became very apparent that happens all the time. It's not just limited to the COVID time.
Right.
Even now, you have people that are just not comfortable coming out of their apartments.
Right. And you'd think, like you said, being in an environment where there are other people your same age that are perhaps struggling with loneliness or some medical issue, that it would be easy to strike up a conversation with them, to say, hey, let's go out for a walk together. But I know that that doesn't happen. I see that in my own family. And people will change as they get older. You know, they may have been very social when they were younger, but then when they get isolated, mm-hmm. it's almost like something that continues. They're isolated and they just continue to be more and more isolated unless they make an intentional choice not to be.
Exactly.
Right. So tell us who you serve then.
So we have about 200 apartment complexes that qualify for the activities that we provide. It's about 15,000 eligible residents. They are all living in affordable housing. So this is housing that's subsidized by the government.
Okay.
So it truly is the poorest of the poor that are out there. This is not senior living where you're living in an apartment that has, you know, all the bells and whistles. This is typically a 600 square foot apartment. And it does have community space and it does have gathering space. But it's the idea of having somebody who is living on the barest minimum, usually Social Security as their only form of income, and we're trying to help those people because they're the most in need.
Okay, so again, just to reiterate, there are no nursing homes or private residences that you are serving.
That is absolutely correct.
Strictly the people in the affordable housing.
Correct.
Okay. And do you only serve Milwaukee County?
Absolutely not. This has grown from a very small, the first meal delivery was about 100 units, 100 meals were delivered by Jeffrey and his family members. But we now have complexes that are in over 50 cities and 8 counties. Southeastern Wisconsin is our area, but it goes as far south as the Illinois border and as far north as Sheboygan. So you have everywhere in between and, you know, out west to Waukesha County.
Okay. So tell us then, how are you funded?
When we're looking at the idea of affordable housing and it being government subsidized, a lot of people think that we get part of that as programming in order to bring the meals and the activities to the seniors. That is not correct. 90% of our money comes from individual donations. Jeffrey Hansen is on the phone every single day asking for people to donate. The other 10% are corporate and donations and sponsorships for some of our bigger events that we have throughout the year. But the idea is, this is a true grassroots organization. This is south side of Milwaukee where our office is. This is the idea of your $20 can make as much difference as $200 or $2,000. No idea, no money is too small, no effort is too little.
Okay, and fundraising events, I'm sure, too, right?
That is correct.
Okay.
Our biggest fundraiser is a golf outing that's annually held in June. And we have other items that we do occasionally. We had a walk during COVID where we couldn't gather together, but we did individual walks and then just Facebooked each other and enjoyed each other's company that way. We do have a connections event coming up where we bring our volunteers together with others that they bring in to learn more about what they're volunteering for and hopefully incorporate them into some of the events later on in the year.
Okay, wonderful. Well, so we now know the who, and again, it's strictly seniors in affordable housing. So before I made a mistake, I said maybe my mother could participate, but she can't because she's not in affordable housing. So you're specifically serving seniors in affordable housing, but covering over 50 cities in 8 counties, which that's wonderful. So we know the who and the where. So next we're going to learn about the what in terms of what services are provided after a quick commercial break. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking with Chris Geiger, board member of Community Projects for Seniors. So I said in the last segment that we now know the who and the where, so now we want to get to the what. Tell us what services you provide besides meal delivery.
Sure. The meal delivery, of course, is the big push because it happens on the three holidays, Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. We feel that it's important to actually get out on the holiday. But besides that, you know, those only are 3 days out of the year. The rest of the time, we have volunteers that are putting together care packages, and these are just simple items. Your simple toiletries. You might get a donation of stationery from somebody and put those into the bags. You have, during COVID, again, we had masks and hand sanitizer. We still have a lot of hand sanitizer, so that continues to go out. But then on top of that, we offer social gatherings throughout the year. So we'll come back to the same buildings that we serve the meals, and we'll do something like a bingo party, or we might bring some live music, a couple of people playing instruments and singing.
Dancing too, if they want to get out there and trip the light, fantastic.
There are seniors that are very, very, you know, very, very light on their feet.
Okay.
And will continue to dance until they can't anymore.
That's great, and why not, right?
Exactly.
Got music there, you
yep.
know, go ahead and do that. Yeah, if it makes you happy, for
exactly.
sure.
Exactly, that's
yeah.
it. During the summer, we also like to do ice cream socials because who doesn't like ice cream in the summer?
That's right. Well, heck, I like ice cream all year round.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Not just the summer for me. That's mm-hmm. just saying.
Mm-hmm. and then, you know, if you're looking at getting off-site, then we also offer field trips to various sites. For example, we have taken seniors and taken them on nature field trips. And we'll try to incorporate things that may not be in their everyday life.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. I imagine if they're isolated, you can still be isolated and go for a walk by yourself, I suppose,
mm-hmm.
but they probably don't get that opportunity. And so you get them together, take them out, and get them some exercise. If I were to ask you what an impact report of your programming with seniors would look like, what would you say?
It is unbelievable that after every event, whether it's a meal delivery, a package delivery, an ice cream social, the number of seniors that will call and leave a voicemail, will send an email, will do a handwritten letter that we have saved over the years because it is so impactful. It is amazing that a little gesture, minutes of your time, can mean so much to an individual who just doesn't get out and doesn't have people come and see them too often.
Yeah, and a handwritten letter is like
a
lost art, right?
It is.
I mean, nobody does that anymore. I remember growing up and my mother used to make us sit there mm-hmm. and write our thank you letters to whomever. Yeah, that doesn't happen so much anymore. So I bet those are wonderful to receive.
And this is the generation that does that.
Right?
So they still are very active in sending out handwritten letters.
That's wonderful. And volunteers personally visit each apartment with their deliveries, and there's probably relationships that are started there, right?
There are, and it's just that one-on-one contact, that even if it's 60 seconds, that you just have the opportunity to say, hi, how are things going? You know, here's something that we're bringing for you today, no matter what it would happen to be, and just to listen. They may just want to say something that they've been holding on to, that they haven't had anybody to talk to. So that's a bigger part of it. You can talk, but the bigger thing is just listen.
Right. And a smile or a
mm-hmm.
hug, I'm sure, goes a long way. So speaking of volunteers, let's say someone's listening and they say, wow, this really resonates with me. This is something that I want to do. How would a volunteer get involved?
Volunteers are asked to register with our office to come in and do about a 45-minute orientation. And you might think that, you know, well, what more is there to talk about? But there are a lot of details that go into each of the activities. And, you know, just take, for instance, the meal delivery. It's not just about delivering the meal, but it's about preparing the meal and then packaging the meal and then getting those meals into the delivery vehicles and then having that meal eventually delivered. So there's a lot of things that can go into it. And we just ask that you, again, you know, come in with an open mind, listen to what we have to offer, and then decide which way you want to go.
Okay. And I understand you have school groups that you work with.
That's a fantastic way of getting kids involved. Like I said earlier, I had my family come and deliver meals with me. My son is a teacher in Greendale, and my daughter is a teacher up in Winneconne. Both schools have done placemat creations that the kids in the schools have fun coloring, doing something that gets delivered with the meal. And I tell you, they don't end up being used as a placemat. We have seen those placemats hung on the outsides of doors because it becomes something that, you know how grandparents are.
Yes.
They love to show off the art of their kids.
Yeah.
So it just is, you know, year after year and, you know, event after event, you see these things that they're hanging on to.
Yeah. And so in addition to volunteers needed to help deliver the food and meal prep, you also need them to staff major fundraising events, right?
Absolutely. And that's where we are earning fundraiser dollars by volunteering for other events. For instance, the Air and Water Show, we do that each year. And so we'll staff the booths, we'll, you know, put up the chairs, take down the chairs, move things around, and then at the end of the event, get a nice donation from the group. We've done that with Summerfest, you know, doing some of the service organizations around, and it's a great way of providing our help back to somebody that needs it and having us get a donation in return.
Yeah, very nice. Well, talking about donations, let's dive into that a little bit further. How are donations collected? Give us an idea for somebody listening who may want to donate, how they might go about doing that.
Sure. Like I said, Jeffrey makes his phone calls every day, and then they send out pledge cards, and then those are returned. We can, you know, collect money either by check, cash, Venmo, any of the apps that are out there. It's just whatever you're comfortable with, we'll find a way to accept that money.
Okay. And you have a website, cp4seniors.org. So Community Projects for Seniors, but it's cp4seniors.org.
That is correct.
So you can make a donation that way. So you are actually located. So you do accept drop-offs.
Correct.
So where are you actually located?
We are on the corner of Chase and Oklahoma in Bayview.
Okay.
It's an old, I think it's Rexnord was the old foundry that was their factory. And we can accept donations there. You know, if you have something that needs to be picked up, we have volunteers that are willing to do that as well.
Okay. Or if you are a corporate sponsor wanting to do some kind of giving project, team project, you can reach out as well to get details on that. So, Chris, lots of good stuff. The last question I have for you is your call to action. What would you say is CPS's greatest need right now?
Money is always the highest need with just the raw materials of things going up. You know, you go grocery shopping, you know food is going up, the simple toiletries again. So, you know, the meals that we serve have gone up, obviously, you know, over the course of time, but that's always the highest need is for money. But then it's also the volunteers, because you have so many opportunities, so many events that can be attended. We are set for Easter because we have to have that set, you know, 30 days in advance, basically. But, you know, talk to us about a summer event. Talk to us about Thanksgiving and Christmas. Those are the two that get to be a little difficult to staff because they're so close together.
Oh, sure.
When you only have 30 days apart, there are people that will, you know, travel for one of the holidays versus the other. So, yeah, you know, just bodies and money.
Okay. So it's always nice to see a fresh face.
Exactly.
That comes in. And then your newsletter. You need more subscribers, right?
Yes. On our website, you'll see a button that you can subscribe to our newsletter. We have done some very, you know, light updates on what's going on, but we like to keep everyone involved and make sure you know the dates of the next golf outing, for instance, or, you know, the next event that we're looking for help with.
Okay. All right. So check it out, Community Projects for Seniors, great organization. Again, as I said at the onset of the show, we work with a lot of retirees, and sometimes people don't know where to get started. And if this is something that speaks to your heart, you want to volunteer serving seniors, reach out to Community Projects for Seniors. It's cp4seniors.org. Can you just Google, like, Community Projects? Will it come up? Do you know?
You can.
Okay, yep. So that might be something easy to remember if you don't have an opportunity to mm-hmm. write this down. You can just Google it, and Chris shared the location with you, so you should be able to get to it that way. So thank you so much, Chris, for being here and for sharing all about the community projects for seniors and all the great things that they do.
Thank you again for having us.
You're welcome. Because collaboration is so important to the mission of CPS, we're going to talk with one of the organizations that they work closely with after a short commercial break. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest for the second half of the show is Michael Larson. He is Executive Director of the Blue Lotus Center out in West Bend. So welcome to the show today, Michael.
Thank you, Jill. Happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. So how do you, I think it's best always to get started with giving us a little bit of the 411 about the organization that you work with. So how did Blue Lotus Center get started?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. Thank you. The Blue Lotus Center was started over 20 years ago by Fred and Susan Bliffert of Bliffert Lumber in Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they inherited a beautiful 64-acre property that actually in the 1940s was a dairy farm. Apparently there's a lot of those in Wisconsin.
Just a few.
And used it as a family kind of retreat, lake house, place to go. And then when Fred and Susan inherited the property, they realized that they didn't just need it for themselves. They wanted to share it with other people. So they formed a partnership with the Milwaukee Center for Independence to bring people from that organization out to have a day of summer camp, a vacation day in the middle of the summer out at this Blue Lotus Center. And that was over 20 years ago, and we've been going ever since and have grown considerably since then.
Well, how did it get the name?
The Blue Lotus is it's a flower that is closed in the evening and then it opens up during the day.
Ah.
And what's special about that is that that is the experience that our guests who come to the Blue Lotus Center have when they have that access to nature, when they come out and they experience that and all the wonderful things that we can do out there. It's like an opening up of their life,
spirit.
Their soul, their spirit,
yeah.
You know, in a beautiful way.
Okay.
And
well,
so that's where the name originally came from.
Well, you gardeners out there may have known that, but I am not. I do not have a green thumb, so I was not aware that the Blue Lotus closes at night and opens during the day. So that's a nice visual.
Yeah, so it works perfectly for what we do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, how did you get involved?
So me personally, I grew up with nature. I grew up on the banks of the Rock River always had nature as a part of my life. It was really important to me to have that access and to do that. And so as I pursued a career, I worked with nature centers, environmental organizations. I have a degree in conservation and environmental science. And then ended up getting involved in nonprofits because I really believe deeply in nonprofit organizations and in that service to the community that nonprofits do. In my personal life, in my faith life, service has always been really important. Volunteerism was important in my family growing up, and with my wife and I and our kids was something really important that we did. And so when this opportunity came up to work at a nature center, like the Blue Lotus Center, that specifically serves people with disabilities and other significant life challenges. It was like this beautiful marriage of those two worlds for me.
Yeah.
And was a great way for me to do something really meaningful and important and lovely with my life.
So. I bet it's very fulfilling.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm very happy to be there.
Wow. Okay. Well, so who does the Blue Lotus Center serve then?
So we partner with other organizations that serve five distinct populations. So we work with people with cognitive and physical disabilities. We work with people who have recovering from chronic or who have terminal illnesses. We work with seniors or older adults who live in memory care facilities. We also work with people who are experiencing economic hardship or who are from historically marginalized communities. And then we also work with survivors of abuse and trauma.
Okay.
And so we will partner with other organizations that serve those same populations to come out and utilize the grounds for a day during the summer.
And you're saying did you say 65 acres?
Yeah, 64 acres.
64, okay.
Yeah, 64 acres of forest, meadow, and wetland.
Oh, very nice.
It's absolutely beautiful.
I bet it is. Do you ever notice a change in people after they've interacted with you out at the Blue Lotus Center?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, and I think that most of your listeners will recognize that there's something about going outside. There's something really beautiful about being able to be outside. I mean, it's in our blood in Wisconsin, right? Right? That outdoor recreation is a huge part of what we do. So many people have lake houses, or they go up to Door County or the Dells or something,
mm-hmm.
and do that. And there's something not only like intrinsically transformative about being outside, but also the research backs that up from a health perspective.
Absolutely.
That spending time outdoors is good for your physical health. It lowers your cortisol levels, which helps reduce your stress and is good for your heart. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your emotional health. It's good for your spiritual health. And being able to provide that opportunity for the guests that come out to the Blue Lotus Center is very transformative. For example, we had a couple that came out with the memory care unit, and we have a 4-acre pond that is stocked with like bluegill and other panfish, and it is the easiest fishing you'll ever do in your life. You walk out on the dock and all the fish come up and they want it. We do catch and release, so they just,
you can
it's
take
feeding
a net,
time.
Maybe.
Oh, you can do your bare hands, you can catch a fish. So we had an older gentleman who was out and who was fishing from the memory care unit and putting a fishing pole in his hands. He hadn't held a fishing pole for 20 years. But all of a sudden, having that fishing pole in his hands, memories started coming back.
Mm.
And he started talking and telling his fish stories and, you know, the big one that got away and all that stuff like that. And his wife, who was sitting next to him, was just crying. And the reason why was because he hadn't talked that much in years.
Mm.
Like, she just hadn't even heard him talk, really. But, like, that experience of being outside, like, opened up something for him that was really profound, and then gave him and his wife a beautiful moment out there at the Blue Lotus Center.
That's wonderful. You know, and as you said, we in Wisconsin, we appreciate the change of seasons. I know I have friends down south that are like, why on earth would you go outside when it is, you know, for them 30 degrees, right, is freezing.
Yeah, right.
But you learn to embrace the cold. I mean, I lived out in LA for a number of years, but came back ultimately. I love the change of seasons. And you're right, it's just, it's like cathartic to be out in nature, and whatever season it is, each has its own beauty. But even in the dead of the winter, you know, just slap on some snowshoes or go cross country skiing or, you know, walk your dog. I love walking my dogs in the snow. They love it. You know, I can imagine people that maybe haven't had that opportunity to do that have a place now that they can go, and not even to talk about the memory side of it. You know, that story is so wonderful.
When I first started at the Blue Lotus, somebody, I asked, I was like, well, what kind of programming do we do in the winter? And they said, well, we don't do a lot. There's just not that much to do out here during the winter. And I said, I think what you just told me is you're not a winter person. You know, like there is so much to do.
Between the lines, right? Yeah.
And we've actually started this year, we've started to promote like a winter camp opportunity for people to come out. And I would love someday to be able to oh, the pond freezes over. Wouldn't it be cool if we could have ice skating out there, you know, or
snowshoeing?
Ice fishing would be perfect.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the someday plan. We'll get there someday.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but after we'll give you a feel for what a typical day looks like at the Blue Lotus Center. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm ending our last segment today with Michael Larson from the Blue Lotus Center out in West Bend. So, Michael, give us some inside scoop on what a typical day looks like at the Blue Lotus Center.
Oh, absolutely. So we have, I'll use an example from a group. One of our favorite groups that comes out during the summer is Our Next Generation. This is a group that serves kids on the north side of Milwaukee. And they come out to the Blue Lotus Center. And some of the kids don't have necessarily that experience of coming out to a rural community like that, a lake house and things like that. And they get off their bus and they are ready to go. They are super stoked and they are super excited. And it's all that the staff from Our Next Generation could do to like keep them, you know, keep that potential energy, you know, charged, you know, till they get to run out and do all the things. And so they will do like a rotation through the various activities that we have out at the Blue Lotus Center. So as I mentioned before, we do have a 4-acre pond. And so we have pedal boats, we have canoes, we have kayaks that people can get out and go boating out on the water. And then we have fishing available for people who want to try fishing. A lot of people catch their first fish at the Blue Lotus Center. Everybody catches a fish. I said it was very easy. We have bikes that are available for kids, especially love to ride around in the bikes and to experience that. We have 2 miles of trails that people can explore and hike and just be outside and enjoy the tranquility of that, including some boardwalked areas that are good for people with mobility challenges that they can get out and be able to do that as well. And then some people just like to relax. We've got hammocks. We've got, you know, picnic tables. People will picnic, have conversation, just sit by the pond, look out and relax. We'll do campfires. So we'll get a campfire going and do s'mores, especially the kids. They really like that. Do s'mores on the campfire. We have a swimming pool for people to go swimming. And as I say, we try to make nature accessible as possible. So our swimming pool has a wheelchair lift, and we have a private room that's just for people to get changed. It has a pneumatic changing table. So if you can imagine an adult with cerebral palsy who might have a challenge in a traditional bathroom getting changed into a swimming suit, they've got a nice dignified place where they can get changed and then come over and kind of be lowered by the wheelchair lift into the pool and have a floating pool needle. And there's something neat about swimming because it equalizes a lot of disabilities.
Okay.
You know, that everybody's the same in a pool, you know.
Okay.
And
unless you're
so,
in the Dead Sea.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Then you're
then
just
floating
on surface.
Yeah.
But it makes it a neat opportunity for people to just have a great time. There's people that come out there to go swimming. It's the only pool they'll swim in. You know, just because it's a safe place for them to be.
And it's only during the day. So you talked about campfires. It's not like people can pitch a tent and be overnight, right?
No, we don't have overnight services. That's not part of what we offer. That'd be cool, but that's not part of what we offer. It's daytime, although we do have evening groups that come as well.
Okay.
And
okay.
So people sometimes have dinner, and we've had groups roast hot dogs over the campfire, things
nice,
like that
nice.
As well.
Nice. So I would imagine that you collaborate with other nonprofits to further or enhance your mission, right?
That's the best thing, I think, about the Blue Lotus Center. We partner with over 70 other organizations. We're about collaboration. So we form partnerships with other organizations that serve the same populations that we do. And so it might be an adult day service program for people with cognitive disabilities, or it might be the memory care unit. A group like Our Next Generation that serves kids in the city of Milwaukee, or a group that works with women who have been abused. And they will come out and have their day at the Blue Lotus Center, which is nice because then it's private.
Right.
They have their own private day. We only do one group at a time, so that if there are sometimes in the communities that we serve, there are some sensitive things that they wouldn't necessarily, you know, it's not necessarily safe for them to be like in a public space. So to have that kind of privacy is really an important part of it too. And we partner with those organizations who come out and spend of a day with us.
Wonderful. Well, you do have a partnership with Community Projects for Seniors, who was the guest at the beginning of the show. Tell us about that.
We've had a partnership with Community Projects for Seniors for years. They are such a fun and amazing group that come out. So they actually come out every single Tuesday, all summer long, and they bring out different people from the different facilities that they have, that they work with, for people who are living in the those facilities, and they will come out and bring out a group for a day at the Blue Lotus Center. And they know how to throw a party, the Community Projects of Seniors. So they have live music, and they always got somebody on the grill, grilling brats and hot dogs and burgers and stuff for people.
CPS and knows how to get it done, huh?
They do, they do. They party and stuff, but they do all the things that the other groups do. They go fishing, they go in the boats. And we've had, there was one really beautiful story from a woman who was there, and I found out that she, you know, that her place where she lives, like the housing unit that she lives in, does these trips every once in a while. And the only one she ever does is the Blue Lotus Center. Mm-hmm. She doesn't do any of the other ones. She just does the Blue Lotus Center. And she says, it's like my lake house.
Oh.
Right? Like, or people, we hear that sometimes from people, like, this is my vacation.
Oh, yeah. I can
imagine. Coming out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went walking around with the Community Projects for Seniors folks. They're like, have any of you been out here before? They're like, I've been coming here 11 years, you know, and they love it, you know, and they come back year after year because
every
it's
Tuesday,
such a magical day for them. Yeah, we do that every Tuesday in the summer is for CPS. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's great. I can just imagine somebody who has been isolated for a while, the first time they would step foot at the Blue Lotus Center, probably feel like they're in heaven, right?
You it's know? Opening up, like the lotus flower, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Wow, this is awesome. Well, tell us about volunteers. What do volunteers do at the Blue Lotus Center?
Volunteers are the lifeblood of the Blue Lotus Center. There is no way that we would be able to do all of the things we do without our volunteers. So we have volunteers that work specifically with the groups that come out and will come and assist people getting in and out of boats. They'll assist people with fishing. They'll help people find, you know, in the swimming pool or find things that they need and stuff and work with them. And that's a neat opportunity for somebody who likes to work with people and likes to connect. And we have some volunteers that come out for any kind of group, and we have some that just really like working with people with disabilities. And so they come out during those days. And it's a great core group of volunteers that do that. We also, with the 64 acres, part of what's important about the outdoor space is to keep it beautiful and vibrant and aesthetic. So we have a group of garden volunteers that work under the tutelage. We have a master gardener named Suzanne that is wonderful. And she leads Garden Party Mondays. Every Monday morning, we have a group of volunteers that come out and just help us take care of the flowers and the vegetables and all of our gardens to keep the space looking beautiful and wonderful for the people that come out.
Does
and
she
they
play
do a fantastic
song,
job.
Went to a garden party.
I'll ask her next time if she wants to do that. Maybe when CPS
play,
is there.
Yeah,
we can
you
do
play
that,
that in the background. How perfect is that? That's Suzanne's song. Yeah. Went to a garden party.
Yeah, so the garden volunteers are very important to us. We also have office volunteers. We have two really special volunteers named John and Jean that are a brother and sister who are retired, and they come out a couple times a week and help us in the office, and they do just about everything. They're just really skilled working with the database or putting together our newsletters or helping to keep all of our files in order or getting ready for the groups and getting all the paperwork together and
That's
stuff like that.
That's a big job.
It's a big job, and they are amazing people, and we love having them out there too. We also have some like work days, so in the spring and in the fall, and those are really great opportunities for volunteers to come out who just want to come and check it out once, you know, like not necessarily commit to a regular thing, but you know, can come out on a Saturday in May and help to get the grounds ready, you know, to get the boats out and to set up the furniture and help clear the trails and clear up some debris and stuff. So we have a few work days every year that we do.
What about like a corporation if they wanted to do a service project? We do those here, you know, and volunteer as a group at various locations.
Absolutely, we'd love to have you out.
Okay.
You know, and can do that. We can do that any time of the year, really. But one of the coolest things about volunteering at the Blue Lotus Center is that we have a real deep sense of community. And Lisa, who is our volunteer coordinator, does a lot of really special things that bring people together. And I swear the volunteers, when they come, some of them say like they get more out of it than the guests do.
I imagine.
Having those experiences with people every day. But then also, like just this weekend, we invited all of our volunteers that had a February birthday to come out, had a lunch together with them, and it was really nice.
Yeah, if you have a servant heart, I mean, to do stuff like this is just so fulfilling. Like you talked about at the beginning with your why, you know.
And you meet the best people.
Yeah.
Right? Like the people who want to do that kind of thing, whether it's with Blue Lotus or with Community Projects for Seniors, you know, they're just amazing people.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. Well, how would the general public get involved with Blue Lotus?
Well, you can volunteer. So, you know, it's the shameless plug. Like, we'd always love to have more volunteers. So that's a good way. We also do some days specifically that are open to the public, because so much of what we do is these private partnerships with organizations. So during the winter, we do something called our Self-Care Sunday series, which are wellness programs that we do. We partner with different wellness practitioners who will come out. We had one that was like cocoa and sound bath. They made their own hot cocoa and did sound baths. We've had yoga, we've had meditation, and have these self-care Sundays, and anybody in the public can sign up for those.
Nice.
We also have Meditate Milwaukee is our kind of outreach program into Milwaukee, where we do a meditation at the Sojourner Truth House and do that once a month as well. And that's run entirely by volunteers, and it's just got beautiful music. It is not a religiously affiliated meditation. It's open for anybody who can come, but it's a very beautiful event that anybody can come to and check out. During the summer, we do open houses. So we do a few events where we just kind of open up the property, because so many people, they don't know what the Blue Lotus Center is. Some people will say like, oh, I've driven past one County M and I saw the sign, but I didn't know what it was. So we wanted to open up and invite kind of our community to come out and just kind of check it out. And then we have specific days that are special called our Blue Lotus Days that are for families with, especially with kids with disabilities.
Okay.
So they often will connect to us through the groups that they come, but then usually it's with their groups or with their school. You know, we'll have the special needs classrooms from a school, we'll come out on a field trip. But there's something a little bit different about inviting the families to come too, because everybody knows, like, when you have somebody in your family that has a disability, that are struggling with something, like, that's a burden the whole family carries.
Right, right.
And the Blue Lotus Center likes to be like a little like silver lining in that, you know? And so you can bring out, you know, your family and brothers and sisters and the parents, and come out and have a wonderful day at the Blue Lotus Center just with your family.
Nice.
And those
Tell
are
us
the
again
Blue Lotus days.
Where it is.
Oh, our address is officially in West Bend, but if you were to draw a triangle between like Cedarburg, Grafton, and West Bend, we are right in the middle on County Highway M.
M as in Mary,
right?
Okay.
In between Highway 33 and Highway NN, right on M. That's where we are.
Okay. Right by the N and M.
Mm-hmm. And then, yeah.
Not M&M. It's not the M&Ms, the N and M.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And well, then we also, in terms of, you know, ways to support, we always could use support. We have a few great events a year. Every year we have a spring concert. Music is the lifeblood of our organization. Fred Blifford is a musician, I should say. And so we have a concert every summer. We have a golf outing. We have a fall fun drive where we do projects to improve the property and get that all ready, and an annual campaign. But we'd invite anybody who's interested to check out our website to kind of see what's coming up. Consider making a contribution or even becoming a monthly donor in one of our Blue Lotus Buds, which is our monthly donor program, to get involved and support us.
Okay. Well, give us the best way for people to get a hold of you, whether that's social media or a website. Give us all that good information so people know how to contact you.
Yep. Following us on Facebook and Instagram is a great way to kind of see what's going on. Our website is thebluelotuscenter.org. It's really important that you put the in there at the beginning. There's another organization in California that's not at all like what we do. So thebluelotuscenter.org. And you can sign up for our monthly newsletter, which will keep you abreast of the programs that we have coming on and when those open houses are and things like that you can check out. You can reach out to me. My email is michael@thebluelotuscenter.org. Reach out if you have any questions. Happy to answer them and connect you to whatever you want to connect it to.
Well, I want to thank my guest today, Michael Larson from the Blue Lotus Center in West Bend. and Chris Geiger of the Community Projects for Seniors. So thank you both for helping our listeners with some ideas on how they can get involved in serving others. I appreciate you both joining me today.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, of which there are many, you can email me contact information at jill@ellenbecker.com, or you can call our office at 262-691-3200. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about the ways people and organizations are contributing to making our community a caring and compassionate place. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio. I encourage you to visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows. My call to action is to give some thought to how you can make a difference for someone in some way in our community. Our guests have shared many ways today that you can make a difference and have a significant impact, whether that's by donating or volunteering or simply by advocating for the respective organizations to help to get the word out. I'm sure anything you do would be appreciated. Take some time to find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.